Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Just looking at the House agenda today, they've got two agendas. They'll get going here at 1 o'clock, and it'll be kind of a late day. One, two, three, four pages on the agenda. And that's actually maybe even a bit of a light day as we look at less than 2 weeks left to go here in the session. And let's welcome Speaker Brandon Lehr, Montana Speaker of the House. He represents House District 33, Glendive, Ritchie, and Savage. That district, of course, changed a little bit. Restructuring there, and a veteran of now three sessions in the House. Good morning, Speaker Lehr. How are you, Brandon?
I'm doing well. How about you, Tom?
Hanging in. I appreciate you being here as well. And, I know it's real busy, and the time, well, let's make the most of it here. So whatever it is you want to get off your plate there, please do, if I'm not getting to the right question there. But why don't you give us a real good, assessment of how this session is playing out so far?
You know, it's been a different session, mm-hmm. But I believe that we have, managed to get quite a few good conservative policies across. We just got House Bill 337, which is the income tax bill that I carried. It lowers the top rate down and adds more people into the bottom 4-7 rate, roughly a $300 million tax cut on the citizens of Montana. We're working on property taxes. That's been all session. I mean, we've passed probably at least four or five different property tax proposals out of the House, and I'm still trying to work out, all the different ins and outs of how to implement them, which ideas are good, which ideas need a little bit more fleshing out, and just continuing to work on that. And obviously that's one of the top priorities and that, everybody sent us up here to try to fix. We know that, a good portion of that also lies on the local governments. You know, we can lower rates, we can reevaluate assessments, but we need the local governments to do their part too, and to, tighten their purse strings a little bit too, so that way, we can kind of work in tandem with the property tax issue.
You know, early on, the Senate, under Democratic control, really, with nine GOP members voting pretty much with that block of 18 Democrats, I have seen, I think, and your assessment of this, you've got a 52-48 advantage there in the House, but that's pretty slim margin. Some of those bills that you've attempted to get across the line, you've met some resistance in that regard. I think part of that, Speaker, is because some of those moderates and Democrats in the House know that they have got a kind Senate. And I saw that over the last couple of weeks specifically, where they're blasting a lot of bills that were vetted in committee out onto the floor with that same 27-23 majority, and they're House bills in a lot of ways. How has that dynamic played on your members in the House of Representatives?
You know, it can be tough at times, but you always got to remember that 51, 26, and 1 can do just about anything that you want to do up here. And so, I mean, if you can build that coalition, that's what you need. And you can't, in a sense, stop anything at that point in time, but so you just kind of have to live within them bounds. On the House side of things, we've the Senate started the majority of the judicial reform. And in the House, a lot of that's run into resistance. You know, they've passed a lot of stuff there out of the Senate. And we've worked as best we could inside our caucus to try to, whether it's partisan judges, whether it's, a lot of the other judicial reform that's been put up, some of the, revisions to the Judicial Standards Commissions, a lot of stuff to do with the judicial branch. We've struggled. And I think that in this interim, we have to try to work within the Republican Party and see exactly what we can do. and push. I mean, we don't ever want to, you know, take our foot off the gas, but we have to push and, you know, try to find areas to where we can agree on what needs to be done. And I mean, one of the biggest things that I ran on, whether it was in my house race or for speaker, was I wanted to get partisan judges pushed through. And, you know, as of right now on day 80, we've fallen short of that mark. And I think in the interim, that's going to be one of my biggest pushes, is to figure out how we do that, how we can build a consensus around getting that done, because I believe it is something that, you know, at least my constituents want. And it's something I think that would be, you know, greatly beneficial to the state of Montana.
Yeah, and I think if people are paying attention to those floor debates and are going in and checking some of the testimony in committee as well and then looking into that, I think they'll learn a whole lot about, like you said, the standards, the Judicial Standards Commission, and how that operates, as well as you know, the limits that maybe could be placed on the judiciary to make it more of a co-equal branch. It doesn't feel co-equal, does it?
No, not even close. I mean, in the last 4 years, they've really stepped into the realm of lawmakers, and that's something that we really need to work at curtailing. You know, we've worked hard to, you know, House Bill 480 was kind of an innocuous bill, but it's allowing more, allowing the ability to have jury trials in some of these constitutional cases instead of it just being held in front of one district court judge or, you know, the Supreme Court, letting, you know, the citizens of Montana decide how, you know, they want things handled instead of, you know, one judge or a panel of judges. And so that's something that, you know, we're proud of that we got through, and I think that could have a real impact. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head of that co-equal branch of government, and we need to really push to, you know, bring back some of that balance. You know, you look at the Held decision and some of the, you know, the stuff that come out of that case. I mean, we've passed, you know, a good package of four bills, and you could probably add on two or three other bills for, you know, just in the MEPA realm that are pushbacks to the Held decision. And, you know, we're kind of all sitting here, I wouldn't necessarily say anxious, but looking and seeing what the courts are going to do with that and who's going to file, you know, suit against them. And, you know, that's our job, not theirs.
Yeah. And well, I appreciate that very much too. And Brandon Lear is with us again, Montana Speaker of the House, House District 33, Glendive Ritchie Savage area, owns a fencing company. I remember chatting with you going into the session here, and you know, along those miles and miles of fence line, you start thinking about these policies and you start thinking about what Montana needs, and it probably helps you get the work done. Maybe not. Maybe it causes you to break and break down and say, hold it. I got to think this one through. But thank you for this service. I want to go back into your property, not property tax, but the income tax relief. Now, we talked about it here, and I talked about it a little bit going in. I think it's fairly substantial. And you know, people, that's one of the issues when you talk about the budget and the budget surplus. Government shouldn't necessarily have a budget surplus, and that's why I think we see a lot of spending there. Talk about the process of getting that reform through, because I felt that was a victory.
Yeah, and so, I mean, when you talk about the state government, you know, we operate pretty much on income tax dollars. The local governments and the school systems, they operate on property tax dollars. So taking roughly $300 million out of the state coffers is a big deal, to where, and that's all going to stay, you know, in Montana, in Montana's pockets. And what that bill did is it lowered the top rate down, which is the 5.9 rate, over the next 2 years, down a half a point to 5.45. And then it also expanded the bottom bracket, which is the 4.7 rate, which used to be limited to roughly $40,000, now all the way up to roughly $120,000. So if you're in that bottom rate to where, and you weren't before, you're going to get a income increase of about 1.2%. and in the top right, your rate's going down by a half a point. And this is all an effort to try to get Montana to a flat tax, a flat income tax. And by doing that, by getting us to a flat tax, then it's awfully hard to be able to raise that because you're raising it on everybody. And we've seen, whether it's in other states that have done this or studies that have been done, that once you get to that flat tax, it's awful hard for the government, for the state government to raise it up. And we're trying to stay away from that progressive tax rates, you know, the progressive system of tax, to where it's a, you know, it's a crime to be wealthy in a sense. And I mean that, you know, with respect, but, you know, we want to make sure that we're not hindering somebody just because of their, you know, how much money they make. We want to make sure that everybody, you know, pays the same rate. And when you do that, you just create a system that it's awfully hard to raise it, because you're not raising it on one particular group of people. You're raising it on everybody, and then everybody comes out against it.
Yeah, I did not know that. So I appreciate that, that explanation there too. And I can see that, you know, the overall discussion about our resources and our taxes in the state of Montana, I don't know if it happens piecemeal or if there needs to be more of a full-on discussion about it as well. But that's an approach that I'm curious about, because didn't we used to have like 11 different progressive categories of taxes? And I mean, it was pretty convoluted there for a while.
Well, and we still, in the property tax side of things, we have a lot of different categories of taxes. And, you know, in the state of Montana, it hasn't been that many years ago, you know, in the last 15 years, anyway, that Montana had 11% income tax. And in the last, oh, I would say in the last 4 years or 6 years that I've been up here, we've lowered that down by at least a couple points. You know, from where it was then to now. And so we've kind of been working towards that. And honestly, as the state of Montana, we want to be competitive to, you know, people that want to move in here. And when you start looking at tax rates, we're still, you know, a solid point or two above our neighbors. And so it's a big deal when it comes to trying to incentivize people to move to Montana.
Montana's biennial session, of course, the focus for a lot of people here over the past several months. We are on now legislative day 80 of the 90-day schedule. Still some work to be done as we're talking about that, some property tax. There's been a lot of discussion on that. And, you know, I've watched it, I've seen, I think there's some bills that will work together and they'll craft something, hopefully meaningful relief. But you talk about Montana's tax structure overall, and it's probably worth taking a real good hard look at if we have the guts to do that and maybe make some changes. Speaker of the House Brandon Lear is with us, Montana's Speaker of the House, House District 33, lifelong in that Glendive, Ritchie, and Savage area. That's where he represents now. Previously, it was House District 35, joins us today with just 10 days left on the session, Brandon. You know, it's kind of bittersweet, right? You got a lot of work to do, but you're probably not going to mind not having to work 16 hours a day.
Yeah, that is the truth. It will be a nice break to not have to be in the rat race for like you said, 16 hours a day.
How do you do it? How do you gear up for that?
Honestly, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and I've enjoyed it immensely. And I don't envy the people that have done it before me. Let's put it that way.
Well, and I think you've done a good job too in the House. As we talked about some tensions there and some bills, and you and I were just chatting, some of that low hanging fruit's no longer there. Kind of some things were accomplished in previous sessions, and so these decisions and they get a little more difficult. But what I have appreciated is really, and this is on the Senate side as well, when the members debate these bills, there's a lot of good, rigorous, and honest debate, and it's very civil, sir.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do. I mean, obviously in the House too, is that, you know, everybody gets emotional and has emotion behind whether it's their bill, and honestly, whether they're for or against somebody else's bill, and it's just kind of keeping it civil. I mean, we can all have emotion. We can all have our political views. And at the end of the day, as long as we're not, you know, trying to really, really bash somebody, especially personally, is what we're trying to stay away from. And we've managed to do that in the House, and the Senate has too, from in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's really good. I mean, that's what I love about our citizen legislature. Speaking of citizen, it's Citizen Skip in Hamilton. Let's take this call and standing by. Skip, thank you for holding on as well, listening on KLYQ in the beautiful Bitterroot. And you're on the air with Montana Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear.
Hey, thank you, Tom. And Brandon, I'm a guy that's been watching you closely, because at first I'm thinking, wow, he's going to be Speaker of the House. But I honestly think that you covered the bases so well. And I was listening to Tom's intro, and he covers, I mean, he's so good at covering all the detailed bases. I keep telling him on the air that he needs to run for the legislature sometime in his spare time. And so I want you to know that I appreciate your positions on judiciary things. I appreciate, I watched your deliveries a couple of times on TV, both in committee and on the floor. I like how cool-headed you are about handling stuff. Mm-hmm. You must feel like you need a master's degree in psychology to run that House floor. but I wanted to ask you if you would explain to people, I like to ask questions with educational answers, what happens in the next 10 days if certain things are not handled the way the Constitution asks for it? Do we have to go into a special session? And what constitutes the dynamics of, say, a sine die in order to make sure that the legislature session accomplishes its duty, sir?
Fun question.
Thank you for your service. And it's a simple question, I'm sure. So just let us know what to look forward to. And I appreciate it. And thank you, Tom.
Yeah, Skip, thank you. That's a good question. It's a fun question. You know, House Bill 2, that's the main budget bill. And it usually gets across the finish line quite late. But yep. to Skip's question there, what's the dynamic behind it and then going forward?
Yeah, so for the Montana State Constitution, the only requirement we have up here as the legislature is to pass the budget. We don't have to do anything else if we do not, you know, seem to or do not want to do anything else, but we have to pass the budget. And so you're correct, the budget always comes across late. It has, you know, the first half of session we have our general bills, which is a lot of policy, some money, but mainly just policy. And then the second half is dealing with the budget and different appropriation bills and revenue bills. And so the House Bill 2 usually comes across our floor around that day 60 mark, and then it goes over to the Senate, and they have their crack at it. And the Senate is actually doing third reading on House Bill 2 today. So it will get over to us, and we'll have either a concur or a do not concur. That would just send it to a conference committee on Friday. And so usually House Bill 2 is one of the last bills. If for some reason we sine die before House Bill 2 crosses the finish line, yes, we have to come back. And mm-hmm. House Bill 2, as it's written now, is no longer the bill. We have to start over fresh. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we can't craft the bill exactly in the form that it's in when we come back for a special session, but it has to be started over because that particular piece of legislation is dead, is, you know, in all reality, it's dead. And so we, so if we don't do that, yes, we have to. That is, like I said, the only thing that we are obligated to do up here. And so it's one thing, you know, I mean, there could easily be sine die motions sooner than that. But and that doesn't just go into House Bill 2. That goes into all the other bills, whether it's all the other, you know, low numbered, you know, House bills, you know, 3 through 13 that are all your funding bills that haven't made it through, them are dead. And any other policy bill that's still floating around out there, any other appropriation bill or revenue bill that's floating around out there, as soon as a sine die passes, all legislation is dead. Mm. And so You want to make sure, we want to make sure as lawmakers that we get our job done before we do that. And for me, as the Speaker of the House, that's kind of why I put my, you know, foot to the floor and making sure that we keep this process moving. So that way, you know, everything that we want to get through is done before them sine die motions are start being made. And that even comes down to what we do in the interim, you know, with the study bills that we're hearing and debating on the floor now, which the, you know, interim committees will then choose to take up or not to take up. But we want to make sure that all of, you know, as much of this legislation gets across as possible that we want to get across and get to the governor's desk.
I'm going to have you put two hats on. One is Speaker of the Montana House of Representatives. And so from a leadership position, your thoughts on House Bill 2. But also Representative Brandon Lear, House District 33, Glendive Richie Savage. You know, put those both those hats on and tell me what you think about House Bill 2. The budget.
Yeah. And, you know, House Bill 2, just like any other budget, especially from, doesn't matter if it's the federal government or state government, they always grow. And, you know, some of that's inflationary, some of that's, you know, different programs that were put in into place. And so do I think House Bill 2 is perfect? Absolutely not. From a legislator perspective and even from a citizen's perspective, I would love to see a lot more cut on House Bill 2, but there again, you got to find that 51-26-1 to be able to get it done. And that's the beauty of the system of government we have. And it's also some of the biggest heartburn you have is that we're not a government of one. I'm not the king and I can't be. And so, you know, whether that's chair of appropriations, whether that's us on the floor, whether that's the governor, he has to be able to get a budget across. As leadership, there again, I'm looking at what is our one constitutional duty, and that's getting a budget across. And I remember in 21, we only grew government by roughly 2%. It wasn't even 2%. Last session was a little bit higher, and this session's a little bit higher yet. Am I, you know, like I said, am I 100% pleased with the budget? No. Is there plenty of things that I think we could cut out of there? Yes. But where are the votes?
What are you? Yeah, yeah. If you got any more on that? Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
What are you would like to see? Now, we only got like a couple minutes here, and I appreciate your time. In fact, yeah. Probably no, only a minute.
The biggest thing real quick is that we have roughly $130 million that were put in general appropriations for provider rates. That's something that went above and beyond what we needed to do. And I think that's something that we could easily cut out of there. It's $100 million of federal money and $30 million roughly of ongoing state money. That's something that I think we as conservatives could rally around and say, we want to send House Bill 2 to a conference committee and strip that out and cut $130 million out of the state budget.
Beautiful. Hey, Brandon, thanks again for the time. Thanks for your public service, as Skip said. It's a ton of work, and I'm glad that you get energized from it, and that, you know, people, the people will just come up and they'll tell you their ideas. You just I love our system of government in Montana. Doesn't Absolutely. Always work the way I like it, but I still love it. You know what I mean?
Yep. It is the best form it's the best form we could have, and that's for sure.
Yep. So thank you for being a part of it too, Brandon. We'll check up with you down the road. A lot of work, I know.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, Speaker of the House, it's Brandon Lear. And again, as I talked, quite a bit of work left to do on the agenda today.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.